over of Triduum with the Mass of the Lord's Supper. The church was bathed in white, filled with anticipation of the events that would occur in the next few days. As a priest, one of the most humbling parts of this Mass was the opportunity to follow the example of Jesus, wash the feet of the 12 that he loved, he did for his disciples. The night concluded with a solemn procession with the Eucharist, and then we kept watch with our Lord. Yesterday on Good Friday, we gathered together as a people of faith to proclaim our Lord's passion and death. It was a time of great drama and also a time of great sorrow and mourning. We recounted the events of Jesus' passion and death on a cross, reparation for our sins. Perhaps one of the most beautiful moments, to watch many of you come forward to venerate the wood of the cross, the instrument of our salvation. Each of you carried with you your own story, your own struggles, wounds, sorrows, and crosses. You also brought forward your own sense of joy, peace, and hope. Comes in knowing by faith that the cross leads us beyond sin and death to the new life found in the resurrection. For the past 24 hours, we as a church have watched and waited in the stillness and darkness of the night as our Lord lay in his tomb. One ancient homily puts it, on this holy Saturday, the whole earth keeps silence because the King is asleep. God has died in the flesh. Hell trembles with fear. On the day following his death, unbeknownst to those who buried him, Christ left his tomb and descended into hell to draw those who are willing to follow him to eternal life. He spoke to those awaiting their Savior, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead. Christ will give you light." Christ speaks those same words to us tonight. It is his light that breaks through the darkness of this night. At the beginning of this, the greatest and most noble of all solemnities, we gathered around the Easter fire, the light of Christ, the light that leads us out of sin and darkness and into the glory of eternal salvation. The church building that once sat in darkness, waiting for our Lord, is now filled with the light of Christ as we joyfully proclaim the joyful message of Easter. Exult. Let them exult. Let the hosts of heaven and angel ministers of God exult. Be glad and let all earth be glad because glory now floods her. The earth is ablaze with light from our eternal King. Having proclaimed the reason for our joy, turn our hearts and our minds to the sacred scriptures and listen to the story of our salvation from the very beginning. Through it all, we are reminded God has always had a plan for our salvation. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't an accident, nor did it happen by chance. It's the story of a carefully crafted plan constantly unfolding. It's a story that communicates God's unending love for his people, in that despite our sinfulness and rebellion, in the fullness of time, he sent his only begotten Son to deliver us from sin and death so that we might once more share in eternal life. These scriptures show that there are no lengths he will not go draw us back to himself. He suffered. He died on a wooden cross and was buried in a tomb. But as the women discovered on that Easter morning, the tomb now stands empty. Christ, who is risen, can no longer be found among the dead. Through these same scriptures that St. Paul reminds us that by virtue of our baptism into the life of Christ Jesus, you and I are baptized not only into a death like his, but also we are baptized into his life and resurrection, It's this new life in Christ through baptism that we celebrate tonight with two of our brothers. To you, Justin and Daryl, say the same thing that I said moments ago. This moment in your life, the moment in which you are about to be baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, did not arrive by accident. It's not by chance or random circumstance that you find yourself here tonight surrounded by those you love. Rather, tonight is part of the plan that God has had for your life from the very beginning. From the moment of your creation, God has been reaching out to you to invite you into this divine life of communion with the Holy Trinity, with His church. He's reached out to you to pull you back from sin and death, to draw you into a new life in Christ. And when the time was right, you heard His voice. You felt His invitation stirring in your heart. You responded to His grace. In a few moments, this community of faith, body of Christ, will watch and pray as He not only washes you clean with the waters of baptism, but also as He pours His love into your hearts and then sends down His Holy Spirit upon you to seal in that love, give you His divine gifts and the sacrament of confirmation. By water, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, you will become a new creation. You will become new men who, like Christ, are no longer to be found among those who are spiritually dead, rather among those who have been filled with new life. However, this is not the end of the story, because in your baptism, you are also now given the mission to go and bring others to a life in Christ as well. My friends, the same is true for all of us. In the joy and glory of this night, we're reminded of our own baptism and our share in the divine life of God. We renew our promises to reject sin and to believe in God and all His promises. We're reminded that God has claimed us as His beloved children. He will stop at nothing to draw us back to Himself. For that to happen, we must cooperate with His grace. We must follow that light of Christ. We need to stop looking for our joy and happiness among the spiritually dead and the material pleasures of this world. Instead, we're encouraged to turn to Christ and to find our fulfillment in Him, Him alone. He's given us a model to follow. And therefore, we must be willing to lay down our lives as freely and as courageously as He did. Like Him, we must be willing to let go of everything we have in this world in exchange for the joy that awaits us in the life to come. The message that's being proclaimed tonight, my brothers and sisters, this Easter message is not one that we should keep to ourselves. It's not a message that should be lived and celebrated only one day or night a year. It is not a message that should just be lived every now and then, or kept quiet, private, hidden in our hearts, or left here in this church. Rather, the Easter message that Christ has risen from the grave is one that should be joyfully proclaimed. It should shake not only this building with joy, but our homes, our schools, our workplaces, and our communities as well. It's a message that should resound deep in our hearts, and not just tonight, but every night, every day, in every moment, every word, every thought, every look, and every action we take, so that others might know, as we know, that through His passion, death, and resurrection, Jesus Christ has come to save them too. Happy Easter.